there 30 years ago. Oh, God, I just wish we had revival like we did 30 years ago. Well, listen, revival is every day when we choose to press into the presence of God and fall in love with him every day. That is the revival of our heart, which is a contagious thing to the people around us. All right, so verse 23, here we go. Now, after sending them home, Jesus went up into the hills by himself to pray. And then night fell, and he was there alone. Meanwhile, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen. Everybody say, strong wind had risen. And they were fighting heavy waves. Anybody feel like you're in a season of strong winds and heavy waves and a storm? Yeah. And about 3 o'clock in the morning, when you are exhausted, tired, and just desperate to fall asleep, and your brain is insomniac trying to solve all the problems in the world, Jesus came towards them, walking on water. And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear, and they cried out, "It's a ghost!" Point number one, everybody write this down. I have points. People say they like points, so I came up with 7. I'll give you a cookie if you get all my 7 points written down. All right. Emotional distractions debilitate your discernment. So everybody write this down. Emotional distractions debilitate your discernment. So the disciples got so caught up in their riled up emotions, freaking out in these emotional circumstances, they got so caught up in fear, they mislabeled God's movement a ghost. They got so emotionally distracted, they lost their spiritual discernment, what God was doing despite the storm, even in the midst of it. What has you so scared and freaking out in life that you've lost your spiritual discernment on what God is doing in the now? Is it the news? Is it the fear of losing your job? Is it another conspiracy theory video that someone else has forwarded you? And we started hoarding toilet paper again. Guys, how many waves of hoarding toilet paper are we going to go through? I remember when it first happened, I was at the grocery store and someone couldn't find macaroni and cheese, panicking because it's all their kid can eat right now. And someone took all the macaroni and cheese and all of Wise. Come on. Emotional. All right. Number one, we cannot forget the authority that Jesus gave us, because he did pay the price at the cross 2,000 years ago for us to walk in freedom from anxiety, depression, fear of lack, and God's promise that when we tithe and when we put him first in our finances, he will rebuke the devourer. 2 Timothy 1, verse 7, and I love the Amplified. It says, "For God did not give us a spirit of timidity or cowardice or cringing fear, but he has given us a spirit of power and of love and a sound judgment, personal discipline, abilities that result in a calm, well-balanced mind and self-control." Everybody say calm, well-balanced, self-control in your mind. All right. So that means God has given us the focus through the power of the Holy Spirit to fight distractions, to walk in peace and clarity and discernment, which comes from the Holy Spirit, no matter what's going on around you. So my question is this: in this season, and there's a lot been going on for 2 years, if life wasn't already hard before then, are you emotionally distracted? Are you so emotionally distracted that your discernment from the Holy Spirit has dimmed, been clouded, and dropped, that you're not able to hear him and move forward in what he's called to do? Because we're so busy running around like a chicken with our head cut off, going, "The sky is falling." Well, Pastor Sherry, the sky is falling. Yes, but we are going to get through this and move into victory, right? Amen. Because, you know, when you get so caught up in your emotions and you lose your spiritual discernment of what the Lord is doing, because the king is still on the throne, no matter who's on the throne, you follow me? Because it'll cause you to make emotional decisions. Emotional decisions. It's what crazy people do. The only thing that separates us from crazy people, because we all get emotional, is do not make decisions when you are emotional. All right, so let's talk about some emotions. You know, emotions that throw your discernment, lonely. When you are lonely, you will hang out with the wrong crew. And the wrong crew does all kinds of dumb stuff on the weekend. When you are lonely, you will be texting somebody that you would never be texting before and agree to go on dates with guys that you would never date before because I'm lonely and Valentine's Day is coming up and I would like to take photos and put it on Insta with me with my duck face and my hot guy. Even though in that texting and in that hanging out and in that dating, I'm starting to do things that start to break God's heart. I start to go to places where temptations that I haven't been tempted to do before because I'm lonely. And suddenly, you know, I'll go to the bar, but, you know, I'll just have one or two. And we go back into that cycle that used to put us in a prison of addiction. And we wrecked our lives again. It's the emotions that dull out our discernment. You know, we look at our bank account sometimes, and we can discern based on our bank account that I don't need a brand new car, that I don't need a bigger house. But when I go on Insta, I see everybody with their cute little families out with their giant big houses and their huge boat and on their vacation to the Caribbean, and I go looking at my bank account, but my emotions that are riled up and go, I am entitled to have what they have, makes a really bad decision that puts me in debt and causes strain on my marriage. My discernment was off because my emotions led me down a path to make a decision that caused the storm to intensify. You know, sometimes we just choose wrong jobs that lead us stressed out. We jump into the wrong conversations because someone said something about my political party and I need to go in and defend it and I need to prove them wrong and I'm not getting out of this conversation until they agree with me and I'll send them 20 videos until they block me, until they agree with me. And you have lost all your time and lost your voice to just go pray for them because what they really need is the answer, which is Jesus, which will shift how they vote when you start reading your Bible. But you got to go debate them. Gets you stuck and not moving forward. And then we get caught up in that blame game of finger pointing, holding on to offense, playing the victim card because we got all caught up in our emotions because someone hurt us. And we took it personal. It's not personal. We just live in this world that we have different people with different opinions and we say the wrong thing. How many people besides myself say the wrong thing a lot and do a lot of apologizing? I have a big personality, which means for the rest of my life, I'm going to have to apologize a ton. Because that means I don't think before I speak. It is my greatest fault in life. Working on it every day. Stacy and Lane, they're my elders, they're my friends. They keep me safe. They call me out on dumb stuff in my life. And I apologize more for them being in my life. And that makes me better. Please, hang out with people that sharpen you. All right, where we go. All right, and then we get into the blame game. And we go, why, God, why? Why'd you let this happen to us? But it's not God, it's just our bad choices because we got emotional and our discernment was off. So I want to hit one point before I dive in. Distractions are not always from the devil. Sometimes they're just from our own dumb decisions. How many people have made dumb decisions that have put a lot of drama in your life? Me included. Like I said, I'm preaching to myself, okay? You know, and we keep blaming Satan, but it's really our own insecurities, our hidden offenses, our hurts, our fleshed out reactionary, just bad decisions, emotional decisions, okay? So I want to say this, the solution is in the Word of God, and it's time for us to surrender our emotions daily, because you got to daily put your emotions on the altar. And all that anger, the hurt, the frustration, and ask God just to heal your heart and release those things to Him. So we can clean our lenses of discernment off so we can recognize what God's trying to do and we can hear His perfect will and what He's calling us to do. So Romans 12, 1 through 2 in the Amplified says this, therefore I urge you by the mercies of God to present your bodies, dedicate all of yourself, set apart not just your 10 minutes in the morning on your Bible app, your whole life as a living sacrifice, holy, devoted, consecrated, and well-pleasing to God, which is just your rational act of service. He did die for you. He was tortured beyond human recognition. The least thing we can do is on the altar every day going, God, I normally wreck my life, but today and every day, I choose to surrender my life to you and make something beautiful out of this. He is so good at making something beautiful out of a mess. How many people have made a total mess out of your life besides me? And I'll tell you, it makes a great story, real page turner. I'll give you a microphone. You can share your testimony. God will make something so beautiful out of your mess, but you got to give it to Him. All right, it says, do not be conformed. That means shoved into the mold of this world. The dramas, the debate, the offenses, the conspiracies. Do not be conformed to this world any longer with its superficial values and customs. It's shallow, temporary. But be transformed progressively. That means every day it's a progression. Might be two steps forward, one step back, but we are still moving forward. Don't beat yourself up if you didn't spend time with God for the last 3 days or 3 months. Guess what? Just start spending time with him. He just missed you. You know, a healthy friendship is, now Stacy's really busy. I think I'm really busy. I don't even have three kids yet. So like, she's really busy. If we don't get to hang out for 3 months, we still pick up where we left off. We don't hold it or make it awkward because we're really good friends. He just wants to hang out with you. So don't be like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Just start talking, okay? All right, let's see. But be transformed and progressively changed as you mature spiritually by the renewing of your mind, focusing on godly values and attitudes so that you may prove for yourself what is the will of God, what it is his good, acceptable, and everybody say perfect in his plan and purpose for you. That means when we spend time with God, our discernment starts to get sharp. And I start to not be led by my emotions, my fleshed out mind, will, reasons. It gets all riled up in the storm. And I start to be led by the word of God, which is the ultimate truth, which is unchanging. And I hear that his purposes and plans and will for my life hasn't changed, even though I made a mess. It's time to get back on the saddle. Starting to focus and move forward. Put your emotions on the altar as a living sacrifice daily. So I want to say this. God gave us emotions, and emotions are good. Everybody say good. No one likes, that personality, that robot personality that has no emotions and is not empathetic. Okay, God gave you emotions for a reason. Jesus had emotions. Jesus wept, right? So emotions, I want you to think is like the flashing indicator lights on your car dashboard. And how many people have one or two on currently? Okay. They are good because they tell you something is wrong. Something is off. I'm fighting some depression right now. And what do you do with that? I need to go to the mechanic and get it fixed. Or Jesus is the healer. I need to go and spend some time with him in his word and let him heal. Because he already set that free, but I got to spend some time with him to release it to him, right? Okay. It also says, hey, I'm just feeling a little shaky today. How many people just have those shaky days? Just feel a little off, feeling a little insecure, feeling a little clouded in the emotions. I need to go for a tune-up in God's word. I'm going to go spend some time with him, and my emotions start to settle down, and I start to hear clearly who he is, what he's called me to be, and that strength comes in, and that direction we move forward. So emotions are a good thing, but they are telling you to go spend some time with him and get it healed up, get it fixed up, okay? Because if you ignore those lights, next thing you know, other lights start flashing, right? It's never just one light. And next thing you know, how many people panicked because you went, oh, one light, and like 5 miles later, you're like, oh my gosh, all the lights are going off. Okay? It's because you decided to override those emotions that are saying you need to stop, pull off to the side of the road, spend some time with God, okay, before everything else just goes all out of whack. And you could probably try to grind through your day. I'm just going to get through this week. I'm just going to make it to the weekend. And you might have a breakdown. Or you just might go off and just chew out your spouse. And let me tell you, that's going to be a fun week after that. So it might be better just to pull off to the side of the road. Whip out your Bible. I have a saying in my youth group, you know, sometimes they have a really hard day. They work really hard jobs. A lot of these youth leaders work really hard factory jobs, even at night. And they come in, and I said, just take 10. Just sit in the parking lot even. Just go get in the word, and you start praying for the teens they're called to mentor. Just take a little time. Pull off. All right, so we got to stop getting all tangled up in the emotional drama that we sometimes form our identity in. So, you know, there's people that say, I don't like drama. I'm not into drama. All they watch is reality television. And anytime someone is having a drama, they are drawn to them like flies. Tell me all your drama. I want the juice. I need something to talk about because my world is so small. And I have a hero complex. So if there is a problem in the room, I have found it. I'm beside it. I'm wrapping myself all up in your trauma. I am even posting on my social media about your problems because it gives me a sense of purpose and identity because I need to put a cape on and be in the midst of it and save it. But who is the savior? Jesus. Okay. If I just identified you, what I mean? Okay, go bring him Jesus, but don't wrap your identity up in the drama. Oh, I knew somebody that literally, if there's ever a problem in the church, they were immediately messaging me, and they knew everybody's problems. It was weird. It was just like strange. Like if there was a problem in the church, they knew every single one of them and were posting about it and started prayer chains about it. And I go, no, you just need to talk about their drama, because otherwise you wouldn't have anything to talk about and you would actually get to like move forward with your life. Oh, okay, moving on. Please pray they're not watching online. Okay, 2 Timothy 2 verse 4 in the Amplified. It says, no soldier in active service. By the way, we have people in military service in our congregation. I would like to thank you for your service because you are always on call. And I so appreciate the sacrifices that you make with your family. I honor that and I thank you for it. And this is something to learn from this. It says, no soldier in active service gets entangled and mixed up in the affairs of civilian life. They don't get all entangled in the ridiculous little petty dramas. Because they got a high call to protect our nation. They got a high call. They got to keep their ear tuned in to what's really going on, right? It says he avoids them so that he may please the one who enlisted him to serve his commanding officer, Jesus Christ, right? So let's see, where do I want to go from here? So I want to say this. We're not called to ignore people's problems and hurts and pains around us. Jesus was always drawn to hurting, lost, broken people, right? But he brought the answer. So I'm going to say this. If you have someone that calls you every day and just wants to talk your ear off of all their problems for 2 hours, I'll say this. Probably as soon as they call, start praying for them. Give them 30 minutes, pray for them again, and give them an assignment to get in the Word. Otherwise, you will always be their source. You will always be their Savior. And you are not the Savior. Jesus is. You got to just keep them connected, right? Our job is connectors. We have a job. You don't walk past a crying person. You get in it. But what? You don't become their source. You know, or 2 hours a day, you're their therapist. Listen, I believe in counseling. I believe in therapy. They are on Team Jesus, just like doctors are. Right? But you got to bring them to the source. Because sometimes you're going to find out that they don't want to change. They don't want to take responsibility. They don't want to make adjustments in their life. They like the sin trap that they're in. They just want to talk about it. And if Satan can't steal your life, if he can't get you to sin, he will steal your time. And he will just suck all the time out of you so you don't have time to give someone that actually wants to change, that actually wants to get in the Word for themselves, that actually wants to move forward in their life. Now listen, Jesus loves them and I love them too, but be very careful how much time you give them. Because you are a minister of the gospel wherever you go and you can only handle so many connections, right? Jesus kind of really could only disciple 12. All right, so we need discernment to cross over to a new season. All right, discernment comes from staying tuned in with the Holy Spirit. And I could quote a bunch of scriptures, but for the sake of time, you know, teaching on Holy Spirit is my favorite series, always. Okay, John chapter 16, it tells you all the roles that he is, right? He's our counselor, he's our advocate. He is the Spirit of truth that leads and guides us into all truth. Spending time in the Holy Spirit's presence and talking to him will bring laser-sharp discernment. Also in his word, in Hebrews 4:12, it says, the word of God is alive, powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, dividing joint and marrow, exposing motives of the heart and intentions. He brings discernment when you hang out in his word. You'll be able to read through situations, what's a drama, what's a real need, and not get caught up and Satan try to steal your time, but move in power and authority to bring healing and freedom through Jesus Christ. Holy Spirit is always tugging at your heart. He's saying, don't get in that car. Take that turn over there. Don't call them yet because you're an emotional train wreck because you're so caught up in hurt and reactionary right now. When you call them, because Pastor Sherry is very confrontational, all you're going to do is make a mess. So you need to sit down, cool off, get in the Lord, and pray about the right timing to call them, not just for you, but for them. And then he'll tell you what to apologize for. So, welcome to my life. Okay. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. I'll also say this. Holy Spirit is always moving, and he might do something that you're like, I don't know if that's God because, oh, I don't know. Well, you know, spend time in his word. If it's in the word, it's for today, even if it makes you feel a little uncomfortable. Make sure your discernment is sharp before you write something off. Is it in the Bible? Is it in the New Testament? I don't care if you don't like it. It's his will for today. Maybe you need to surrender that on the altar. well, God, I don't want to like come across weird or anything. Is it in the Bible? That's our normal. Make sure your discernment stays sharp. All right, point number two. During storms, Satan will send and stir up opposition. Right in the middle of the thick of it, and you just think it's hard enough as it is. Maybe it's your marriage, maybe it's your finances, and all of a sudden the gossip train hits. Judgment, criticism. You're getting copied on all kinds of emails. It's trying to just make you think you're going to get fired from your job. Stress from work, stress in your marriage, stress from your kids, the principal's calling. Circumstantial storms, heavy waves come and attack your health. Negative doctor reports start rolling in. Waves of grief. I had to start dealing with some waves of grief. I shared about it. By the way, there is a time to grieve. Remember, God gave you good emotions. You need to take some time so God can heal those things. But when it's constant, where it's tormenting, okay, we need to bring, Lord, I thank you. You are healing my heart. You are healing my heart. I'm not going to get stuck here forever. Waves of depression and anxiety. You need discernment when you're going through a storm so you don't get mixed up and blame the wrong guy. So John 10:10 says this, Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. Jesus has come that he has given you more life, life in its fullest, life abundantly. The Amplified Bible says so it can overflow and help someone else, right? So Matthew 14:26-29 says, when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified in their fear and they cried out, it's a ghost! But Jesus spoke to them at once. Immediately, he spoke. But are we tuned in to hear him? He says, don't be afraid. Everybody say, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. What God says in the storm is more important than what you see in the storm. Point three. What God says in the storm is more important than what you see in the storm. Don't be afraid. Take courage in the power of his word and the presence of the Holy Spirit and worship. You are not alone. Jesus is right by your side. He is here in his power, in his presence, even if you can't see it, and especially even if you don't feel anything. It's just the emotions. The disciples were an emotional frenzy that they couldn't accurately discern the presence of the Holy Spirit and through the presence of Jesus, right? Okay. It clouded their discernment. And Jesus' presence was just lost in the chaos of that day. But what Jesus says in the storm is more important than what you see in that storm, what you feel in that storm. Distractions prey on your emotions, your insecurity, and your need for control. How many people have to fight all those things? But strength and direction and clarity will come through Jesus. And when you can't hear because you're so freaking out, will you please open up your Bible? I can't hear anything. God's not talking. He is always talking through this every single day. You just read until one scripture jumps off the page, smacks you in the face going, that applies to my situation. He is talking to you. He is saying, don't be afraid, take courage. I am, the great I am, is here. You may not see it, but God said it. Hold on to the promises of God, and you need to make yourself speak and remind yourself of the promises of God in that storm till your emotions start calming down. Do not make emotional decisions. Start speaking God's word. Clarity will come. Verse 28, Peter then called him, Lord, if it's really you, tell me to come to you, walking on the water. You know, we all struggle with doubts, just like Peter did. And Peter had faith. He just wasn't really sure if he was ready to act on it. So he asked for confirmation in the word of Jesus. This thing, not a feeling, not a weird sign, ask for God to confirm it in scripture through his word, okay? This is the ultimate anchor. You can't mishear it, okay? Verse 29, yes, come, Jesus said. So Peter went over the other side of the boat and walked on water towards Jesus. Okay, this is point number four. You are most vulnerable when you did it, but it's not done. You are most vulnerable when you did it, but you're not done yet. You took some steps. You were obedient. God told you to start this ministry. God told you to open that business. God told you to buy that car, and you need to still fix it up. But we get a little comfortable if we take a couple steps and we get so distracted then that we don't finish, we don't continually go, God, what's the next step? Yes, you should celebrate when you walked a couple steps on the water, right? But you got to keep your eyes on him and keep focused to keep moving forward. I've seen so many people get a victory, celebrate that victory, stop hanging out with God every day because they're not desperate anymore, lose their focus, and then 3 years later, same place, didn't move forward, or they even went back. You're most vulnerable when you did it, but it's not done yet. Okay. So all of a sudden, you are now the lead team director. But now you actually have to call, grow, pray for, and disciple the people on your team. Congratulations. Welcome to leadership. Now you're going to have to lead them. It's not a title. It's not a position. It is the discipleship process. Are you praying for them? Are you calling them? Or do we just get real comfortable in our position? How many know people at work, management sometimes, gets real comfortable that in position, but they're not doing the work? And what happens is then promotion goes to someone else. All right, a little quiet there. We got to focus on the project God has given you, the business God has given you, the kids God has given you, the person God has called you to disciple, the ministry you're called to. Jesus, let's see. Now, I want to say this. We need to celebrate Peter. He did what no one else did. He walked on water. But his goal was to reach Jesus and finish. For it to be done, it requires some laser-sharp focus, which is a catchphrase I started saying in the youth group this year for myself. Okay, Matthew 14, verse 30, it says, when he saw the strong wind and the waves, he was terrified and began to sink. Save me, Lord, he shouted. Point number 5, don't be so distracted you forget that Jesus is the deliverer. Everybody say deliverer. He's the Savior. That means what he promised, he will deliver upon. But you better remember what he promised in the midst of the wind and the waves. You better start repeating the word of God of what he promised to take care of you, to be your healer, to hold your family together, to protect you. Okay, Matthew 14, 31 through 32. Jesus immediately reached out and grabbed him. Immediately. You have so little faith, Jesus says. Why did you doubt me? When they climbed back into the boat and the wind stopped, then the disciples worshiped him. You really are the Son of God, they exclaimed. And after they had crossed the lake, they landed at a new place. New season, new place, crossed over. 11 other disciples had the opportunity to do what has never been done before and never happened since, walk on water. But they got so caught up in their emotions and their fear that they missed the opportunity to press past their emotions into an opportunity God put before them. Are we so caught up in our emotions right now in fear that we are missing opportunities to preach the gospel to Jesus? Excuse me, preach the gospel of Jesus to other people. Something to think about. Or you're so afraid to start something because, you know, in these uncertain times, keep your circle small. Don't do anything new. Just hold on. I don't want to be holding on to a massive ship sinking, okay? I'm going to be building a ship. I'm going to be paddling. I'm going to be doing something and move forward. Not sleep in your basement, you know, watching church on TV. Come on, guys. What is church? Church is a gathering of people. Watching church on TV is called building yourself up in the word. And I do that probably every day. I love listening to messages. But this is people. This is accountability. This is what keeps you from getting weird. Connecting with other people. By the way, you can come to church and not connect with people. You'll notice because you sit in the same place all the time and you don't, and there's like 50 rows between you and like save 20 seats for Jesus. Okay, 6 feet apart. That's okay, but please talk to people that are at least 6 feet from you. Start to connect. Welcome to church. Okay, I'm hitting some toes here. Where am I? Okay, number six. Distractions drown you when the vision drifts. Distractions drown you when vision drifts. 1 degree, getting off by 1 degree will make all the difference on where you land in life. 1 degree. You can't afford to get off track by 1 degree of what God has called you to do, the vision he has called you to do. And everybody's a little different. He has given you a vision for your workplace. He has given you a vision for your county. He has given you a vision for your job, for your ministry, for your neighborhood, for your school. So just in case you didn't notice, I talk too much. It's what I do. It's like my gift. It's my superpower is talking. If we ever had to start a commune, my only contribution is I can cook. I can cook. Ask my husband. And I talk. So I grew up in a family that was a hunting family. So you came out of the womb, and by the time you were 11 years old, you took your hunter's safety course. And we put all in 3 years with Dad. And I, by the way, I am so grateful that I came from a hunting family, because I have a bond with my father, who's now in heaven, and my uncle and my grandfather that I probably would have never had I not taken some time to meet them where they were at. But guess what my job was, because I talk too much? I am the deer pusher. So what that means, deer pusher, my dad would say, Sherry, you just be yourself. You just be yourself. Listen, we got a place for you on the hunting team. You be loud. Here's a compass. And what I need you to do is follow that compass, because your uncle and me and Pop-Pop are on the other side of the mountain. And you need to, hey, just be loud, be myself, and push all the deer to the other side of the mountain where my team is waiting to bring dinner for the year, okay? And I love venison. So I was like, I am on this team. So the problem is, if I, by the way, focus, it's always been, because I'm a talker, a little bit of an issue for me in life. So if I'm just hanging out, just chilling, planning my fashion outfits for the week, and I get off by 1 degree, I'm going to push all them deer onto the other mountain. Of which the fact that I got up at 3 a.m. and ate nothing but like a breakfast bar, which are terrible. Who invented a breakfast bar? Terrible stuff. They sprayed deer urine on me, okay? I am covered in face paint. I am getting zits as we're talking. I went through all this hard work to push the deer to this one coordinate. It wasn't that hard, but I lost my focus and pushed everything to the wrong mountain, okay? Getting off by 1 degree can cost you a lot in where you land in life. I have gotten off by 1 degree. I have taken the 10-year late plan on everything in life, because I was really insecure, and I compared myself to everybody around me, and never thought I was spiritual enough, good enough to do anything great for God. Blew 10 years because I was insecure. And my students will go 10 years farther than me. In fact, I hope they go way past me, because I preach this gospel from my mistake. I don't beat myself up, but I got a message. Don't get off by 1 degree, because 10 years later, it could cost you a lot. Let's do another story, because it'd be fun. So there's this man with a boat that I heard about, and he wanted to go find whales, because whales are cool, because they're big and loud and stuff. I don't know, nature, woohoo! So he finds out the coordinates of where the whales are, and he sets his course on his boat, and he's just, you know, probably eating a breakfast bar, okay? And he goes to find the whales, and he just gets so caught up, and he found some whales. I thought there would be more, but I found a whale or two. And he's like, oh, this is great. He stopped paying attention, and all of a sudden, started getting dark, and a storm hits. And he can't now find land for some reason, because his coordinate got off because he wasn't paying attention. And he was lost at sea for 4 days. Ran out of food, water, and by the mercy and grace of God, someone found him. So after he probably ate at Burger King and just thanked God for saving him, he called the person that gave him the coordinates of where the whales were. And he said, what happened? Where did I go wrong? He goes, you were off by 1 degree, overshot by 15 miles. Almost cost him his life. All right. Where do I want to go? Can I wrap this up? Let's see here. I'm thinking. What time is it? All right, stick with me. So losing focus on Jesus and prioritizing his time, our time in the Word, it's easy to get distracted. Priorities shift, right? We get off the course in our calling. But what is your calling? It's not to work for the Savior, right? Our calling is to be with him, right? Number one, I'm just going to spend time with him every day. And out of that will overflow. I'm going to know him as my first priority. And number two, I will make him known. Ministry overflows out of our personal relationship with God. Because your 1 degree might be you stopped reading the Bible. Well, I can quote it, Sherry. I can quote the whole New Testament. The Bible says, let the word of God continually be before your eyes. That's called pride. Pride comes before the fall. And I've seen a lot of Christians not in the word any day because they got a bunch of scriptures memorized. And they're going in circles in life. And they're not taking anybody with them forward. I know Christians that have graduated out of my youth group or young adults, and they just decided they didn't need to read the word for themselves, or it's just a scripture a day in their app. Give about 2 years and they go off to college and they are a universalist, which is not a Christian, because they think there is more than one way to Jesus. They are not a follower of Christ. So please, parents, teach the consistency of reading the word every day. People that don't want it in their Bible suddenly forget that it's God's will to heal them. Always. They stop thinking he even exists or it's even real because he doesn't feel anything. It is important to keep that daily relationship with him right on point. And you can't afford to compare yourself to other people to get your coordinates. Does that make sense? You know, oh, I look like them, I talk like them, I go to their grow group. I do the same ministry that they do. The only measuring line we are ever called to compare ourselves to is Jesus Christ alone, because this is where the church got off track by one degree. 2 Corinthians 10:12, it says, we wouldn't dare say that we are as wonderful as these other men who would tell you how important they are, but they are only comparing themselves with each other, using themselves as the standard of measure. How ignorant. The Amplified Bible says they behave like fools. The church, not my church, the church at large has gotten off by one degree because we stopped comparing ourselves with Jesus's heart. And he was so obsessed, I could cry, with broken and hurting people. He was obsessed if he saw someone that was sick and came to him for healing. I don't care if they were a social leper or not. He stopped everything he was doing to bring healing and freedom and pick people up. They were in ditches that were totally kicked down by society saying, you are not good enough. And he went out of his way saying, I want to use you. Come and follow me. Churches have gotten off by one degree and we become a social club because we have lost sight of what he was about in the Great Commission. And he says, I want you to go out into all the world. That means every career path outside the four walls of the church. And I want you to bring healing. I want you to cast out devils. Raise the dead. It says it's in there. Make disciples. You will not make disciples in church. You will make disciples in your home over dinner, flipping burgers on the barbecue, going to the hunting club. Yes, you are welcome, all the husbands that said, see? But make sure you're talking about Jesus. Church, it's time we get on point again. Let's stop comparing ourselves to other churches. Well, this church does that, and that church does that, so that needs to be our standard of measure. Our standard of measure is Jesus. And the vision of this church is to reach the lost, make disciples, and preach the full gospel, which is the fullness of Holy Spirit. Everything that was in the Bible is still for today. Lay hands on the sick, and we will expect to see them recover, and I will not make excuses when they don't. That is a mystery. I'll find it out on the other side. My job is to preach the gospel and lay hands on the sick and see them recover. Let's get back on that one degree. We are not a social club, but you will need to connect to be able to preach the gospel. Thank you, Lord. I'm gonna leave on that. Last story. There was a man in the middle of a carpentry project. My husband's into woodworking. I learn a lot about that stuff. And I learned something from him, and I also found a story to back it. But there was a guy that had to cut out 300 boards to a very specific measure. Okay, I got those engineer brains following me here. And he measured out the very first board. And he goes, okay, perfect. And instead of getting his tape measure out for every single board, he goes, oh, I'll just cut a corner here. It's not a big deal. Just make it faster. I will just measure it to the last board that I cut. And he had to cut 300 boards. Yes, these people that know this. Why? Because if you're off by 1 millimeter 300 boards later, guess what? Do the math. You're off by a whole foot. Try building a house with that one. It's a mess. Do not compare yourselves among yourselves. We will find ourselves in a mess. Your job is to get in the word every day and say, if Jesus did it, I'm called to do that too. He doesn't call extroverts. In fact, it's really funny. There's a lot of ministers out there that are actually self-proclaimed introverts, but under the power of the Holy Spirit, it transforms their personality. We can't get off by one degree. One little lie on my taxes. One little thing I didn't claim makes all the difference in you stepping into your destiny. One little manipulation in the insurance system, you will lose your voice with your entire employee system, right? One little embellishment on your resume, you will lose your voice, whether you get the job or not, when they find out. I only watched the first 10 of the 50 Shades of Grey. Well, you know what? That first 10 stuck in your brain, and that will affect your marriage. All right. I only flirted with a new girl at work a little bit. I don't need to tell my wife. 1 degree. By allowing distractions to get you off track by 1 degree, you will delay your destiny. You might miss some divine appointments, relationships, business opportunities, ministry opportunities. So listen, don't beat yourself up. Just repent. There's some things you just realize you need to refile your taxes. Okay. Stay focused. Repent. Move forward. Let's not miss it. Last point, we need to fix our focus. And I want to end here on Hebrews 12, 1 through 2. It says, therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, by the faith that have testified to the truth of God's absolute faithfulness, stripping and throwing off every unnecessary weight, every distraction that throws us off course, everything that slows you down, the pleasures of life. I might do a series later on the good things that distract us in life. Many people in ministry, okay? Sometimes you're about so many good things, you miss the God thing. You're so stuck in the thing he called you to do 10 years ago, and it was so good, but you have stagnated because he's called you to a new thing, and you got to let the baby go and let someone else take that to the next thing. What is God calling you to do in the now? Things that slow you down. Too many good things, you miss the God thing. Enjoying life. You know, if I took every opportunity for entertainment and pleasure and adventure that came my way, they're good things. God wants you to rest in him and have adventures and celebrate life. And you need to go on vacation with your family. If you have not taken vacation with your family, God has commanded you to rest and build the relationships in your family, right? But if I'm gone every weekend because an opportunity came up, I'm going to the beach every weekend, I'm going hunting every single weekend, pro-hunting family, please, I will take your venison, pro-hunting. But if it takes every single week, that is your focus, that is your passion, you will miss the broken, hurting people that God has called you to minister to. You will miss divine opportunities in business, in the community. Focus. Slows us down, and the sin which so easily and cleverly entangles us, trips us up. Let us run with endurance and active persistence the race that is set before us. We need to fight every morning with me. I am fighting every morning, and sometimes I blow it. Epic fail. Read that stupid thing on a blog for like 10 minutes, which turned to an hour, okay? But we're going to get back on the saddle today, right? No, don't beat yourself up. We're going to fight to throw off these distractions and receive the grace and empowerment of God. We don't work for it. We receive it by faith to focus and break free from entangling habits that have kept you from what God has called you to do. Verse 2, looking away from all that will distract. I will need to choose to turn the channel and fast forward during that show. I have to make a choice. I don't care who makes fun of you. That image in your head, they don't just fall out. And if you did see an image, just say, God, I'm so sorry. Take that away. It's okay. We're going to move forward. We're moving forward. Forward, okay? Looking away from all that will distract us and focusing our eyes on Jesus, who is the author, perfecter, and finisher of our faith, the first incentive of our belief, and the one who brings our faith to maturity. There are people that have been, they think they're mature believers because they can quote all the scriptures in the Bible and they've been coming to their church and ministry director of this and that, blah, 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 30 years, and they are not spiritually mature. Are they doing what Jesus was doing? Does their heart beat for the lost? Are they discipling anyone? Don't compare yourselves among yourselves. We will be found foolish. His heart. Get back to his heart, the 1 degree. Who brings our faith to maturity, who for the joy of accomplishing the goal set before him endured the cross, discarded the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. You always move in the direction of your focus. If your focus is Jesus, and it is a choice every day, and we blow it, sometimes for 2 months, what's your focus right now in this moment? Jesus, stand up. Everybody, stand up. We're just going to close our eyes. And we're going to realign our heart and get back on that 1 degree. Jesus, who do you cry for? Jesus, who does your heart break for? Jesus, what have you called me to do? Because if you are my focus, I will always move in the direction of you. We have to stay anchored in his word and take action daily. And you might be saying, but Sherry, I'm emotionally a mess right now. I'm like so hurting. I don't even know what he called me to do. I can't even hear him. It's okay. We're going to just close your eyes. We're going to pray. Nevin, do you mind getting on the keyboard if that would be okay? Michelle, thank you. So Hebrews 6:19 says this, "This hope, this confident assurance we have as a strong, trustworthy anchor of our soul." Our soul is our mind, our will, and our emotions. It cannot slip, it cannot break down under whatever pressure bears upon it. A safe and steadfast hope that leads us through the curtains into God's inner sanctuary, into the very presence of God. It is time to anchor your soul, your mind, your will, and your emotions in Jesus. And Jesus is the Word made flesh. So I want to just say, if you are an elder in this church, come forward. Liz and Jim for altar ministry, your team, you can bring your team forward. If you are struggling in your emotions, in grief, in loss, in anger, in rage, in unforgiveness, in hurt, in fear, they are going to pray for you and break that off of you in the name of Jesus. And you are going to realign your anchor and your focus in Jesus. If that's you, come on forward. They would love to pray for you. And for others of you, God has called you to do something in your community, in your public school system, in your neighborhood. Start something. He's called you to start a business to make York City economy booming. And you lost your focus by 1 degree because we started getting stuck in the good things, the little victories in life. And you just got off course and you stopped moving forward. You did it, but it's not done yet. And you just need some love and accountability and some faith for someone to pray for you to take ground again in that calling of God. If you haven't heard from God in a long time, go back and do the last thing he told you to do. Really good way to get back on track. If that's you, come forward. They're going to pray with you. And right now, every eye closed, every head bowed, we are just going to realign our hearts with Jesus. Jesus, just repeat after me. Jesus, I love you. I'm sorry for getting off track. You're my first love. I choose you today, and I fight to keep you my first love every day. Forgive me from the distractions. I'm moving forward with you. I surrender my emotions to you. And I lay aside and just visually smash every idol. I'm not saying you got to smash your phone. We got to use them. But Lord God, I thank you. I lay aside everything that's ever come before you and lay it aside. You're my first love. My eyes are on you. Amen. No guilt, no condemnation, no shame to those who are in Christ Jesus. And if those were hard prayers because you're beating yourself up, you're listening to the wrong voice, because he brings hope, answer, and freedom. Today is a new day. Today is a new day. Everybody say this. Today is a new day. And I'm moving forward into a new season with Jesus. Amen. Church, you are loved. You are celebrated. Don't do life alone. Connect with someone that will hold you accountable to the call of God in your life. To start the business you were called to do. To start the neighborhood outreach you were called to do. To do whatever it was. Actually, to be the parent you always wanted to be. There are incredible people that will fight along your side so you don't lose vision. You are loved. Have a great day. Be blessed. Amen.